What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, episode 36. Today, we're talking about how to hear from God. Last time, we talked about how to pray, and now we're going to hear back from God today. So I'm going to talk about the seven ways God speaks to mankind, especially his children, and what you should do with that response. You know, we have to test the response. We have to confirm the response. So we're going to talk about all of that so that we can have a fruitful conversation with God and be able to be led in the correct direction when we pray. So let's get right into it. First thing we need to do is we need to prepare to hear. We have to believe that we'll hear back. If you're praying and then you're saying, well, I don't know if God's going to respond, or, you know, you're not operating in faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you must believe that he's going to respond and that he will bless those who diligently seek him. Okay, so that's the first step. Second step is to be patient. He'll bless those who are patient and wait on him. Third thing you need to do is make time to hear God. Now, for me, it's been early mornings, late nights, before a big meal, during the fast. Now, you'll notice here that these times that I'm mentioning are times when you're well beyond you're done eating. And I say this because the brain connects with the mind, okay? The brain is responsible for the mind, you know, connecting with God and hearing from God and stuff like that. When you have a big meal or after you've eaten, depending on what it is, the body takes a lot of energy to process the food that you just ate, okay? So, and it uses a lot of brain power, too. The brain has to do all of this. You know, you say your body and your stomach is breaking stuff down. Yeah, it's doing it, too, but the brain is in operation, too. So, if you're trying to hear from God, but you just ate a big meal, it's going to be a little difficult because of the processes going on in your body. This is why they fasted often. Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. Because they probably did it, and we looked at some records, and they did it maybe two times a week. Twice a week, they would just not have a meal. Maybe it was they didn't have dinner, or they didn't have breakfast, or they didn't eat anything those 2 days. Or however they set it up, but the bottom line was they were trying to have clear a mind so that they can hear God. So this will naturally occur, though, in the midnight, you know, after your body has processed your food, in the early mornings, before you've eaten a meal, during a fast. This is naturally happening. So I'm not saying you must go on a fast in order to hear back from God. I'm just saying that these are some of the best times. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't hear God after eating a big meal. Not saying that. I'm saying that these are some of the best times. And I'm saying this is for me. So that's just something to think about. But people have always mentioned that, you know, I'm more creative early morning or late nights. And this is the same reason. The body is done processing food. The brain is done processing the food. Your creative juices are now free to create and do whatever you want. That's what's going on there. And you can hear God and all this kind of stuff because you don't have your brain processing all this food. So now the brain can utilize the mind and you can connect with God and hear God and all this kind of stuff. I hope that makes sense. Okay. The fourth thing you need to do is have a quiet place set up. You know, we go to parks and the woods, different places like that where it's just pretty quiet. You could have a study in your home, anywhere you can get to where it's quiet. You don't want to be around a lot of noise and stuff like that. And then the fifth thing you need to do is have somewhere to record what you're hearing. You can use your smartphone, or you can have just a pen and paper and a little small notepad or something like that to jot down, you know, what you prayed and then the response you heard from God. Okay, so that's the preparation part. So once you got that ready, you can begin to hear back from God. So God talks in seven different ways. The first way is he speaks in an audible voice. So you've read this many times in the Bible. God said to Moses, God said to this guy, that guy. They're hearing God audibly. I would say that God is not likely to speak to his children like that today as much because of our spiritual connection with him. Back then, they didn't have a spiritual connection with God. They may have had the Holy Spirit on them, but they were not born again to where they had a spiritual connection like we do today. We're born again. We have a spirit that's connected to God. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. They had to help Holy Spirit dwelling on them. So because of that, he had to deal with them in physical ways. He had to talk to them and you know, utilize their five senses. They had to see stuff. They had to hear stuff. Now, he speaks to us in the inner voice. This is the second way he speaks. But I just want to just mention that he does speak in an audible voice. Now, to this inner voice, this is number two. The inner voice is not audible. It's a voice you hear from within. And it's God speaking to your spirit. The Bible says in John 4:24 that we ought to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so if that is the case, he may communicate in spirit. So we're a spirit. He's a spirit. He's going to speak to us spiritually. He's not going to interact with us in a fleshy realm. He's not going to deal with us in our five senses. He's going to talk to us spirit to spirit. And many of us have had experiences where we heard a voice from within. It was not audible, but we heard a voice from within and we knew it wasn't us. Sometimes it sounded like us. Sometimes it was a deep masculine voice. But the bottom line was that it wasn't us, it was God talking to us from within. That's spirit-to-spirit communication. Only the saints can experience that. People that's in the world that haven't been born again, they're probably going to hear audible voice some kind of way. Because just like Moses and those who were not born again back then, did not have the spiritual connection, they had to hear something audible. Some have spoken to this being the still small voice. 1 Kings 19:11-13, it reveals that God is not always dramatic when he talks. In this case, he was talking to Elijah. He put on this big performance. It was like, you know, Elijah, come out to the mountain and I'm going to pass by. And so, you know, God passes by. There's fire. There's wind and there's earthquakes. And he said God wasn't in none of that. Then there was a still small voice. That passage in scripture is saying that God doesn't speak always in these very dramatic ways. He has, though. He has spoken through fire. We know that when Moses was, you know, talking to God from the burning bush. He's spoken through whirlwinds. We've seen him speak through earthquakes and thunder and lightning. We've seen him speak through those ways. So, but in this case, he was speaking in a still small voice. So we can't limit God to one way of communication. He speaks in multiple ways as far as his voice, how it sounds. It could be still and small. It could be a thunderous lightning sound. It could be from fire. It could be from a whirlwind. It could be in an earthquake. That's the variety of ways God can speak in an audible voice. But today we're talking about this inner voice as well. So that's another way he speaks as well. All right. Number three, God speaks through his people. Sometimes God uses his children to respond to his children. So we know in scripture in Hebrews 1:1-2, it says in times past, he spoke to people through his prophets. And then later on through Jesus Christ. Now, via the Holy Spirit through the believers, as we see in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, it says, the Spirit expressly says in the latter days, and this is, I think, Paul saying this. He's basically saying the Holy Spirit told me that this is going to happen in the latter days. So if this is the case, then the body of Christ is structured in a way that we need each other. Okay. And everybody got the Holy Spirit. And so I may be praying to God about something. And then God uses another brother or sister in Christ to speak and respond to me. And so sometimes if you're trying to hear from God, you can go talk to your pastor, a teacher, a mature saint, and just ask him, hey, what do you think about this? And then God may use them to communicate something to you and give you what he thinks or his response. Or you can listen to a pre-recorded sermon and get the answer that way. Many people have went to the assembly, sat down, listened to a sermon. They were talking to the Lord about something. And they heard a response right through that preacher as he was talking. Preacher didn't know nothing about that person, but God did. And he spoke through that person. And that brother or sister in Christ got the answer that they needed from God. So that's another way God speaks through his people. Number four, God speaks through the Bible. The Holy Scriptures is the main source God speaks through. You can pretty much get an answer for almost anything from the Bible. If you search hard enough, it's going to speak to you and tell you what you should be doing. Jesus said his words are spirit and their life. So this is no ordinary book. Okay, it's a spiritual book. And if you've been around it for any length of time, you know it speaks to you. You know, I've been saved since 2003 or 2002 or something around there. And I studied scripture and it just spoke to me. I'm like, man, is somebody in the room with me talking to me personally? But that's the word of God. It will talk to you and tell you things. And that's just the way it is. So I would say the first thing you should do, if you're asking God for, you know, what should I be doing? Search the scriptures first. The Bible says all scripture, this is in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So he's telling you the word of God is what you need. You should study that first and see what God is saying. So search the scriptures. And one of the ways I do it is there are tools out there. One is on the internet, there's something called openbible.info. If you go there, it's a topical Bible search engine. And you can say, what does God say about this? Or what does the Bible say about this? You can type it in and it'll give you all the references to that particular topic. And then you begin to study those and see, man, this is what God is saying to me about this situation. So I encourage people to check out that site, openbible.info, and use that topical Bible search engine to get answers from God. All right. Number five, God speaks through visions and dreams. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 17, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So, you know, we already see that come to pass. We see Joseph get a dream from God to take his wife Mary to be his wife, because he was a little bit ambivalent because she had gotten pregnant, you know, prior to him even going into her. So he gets a vision. He gets a dream, you know, and tell him, go ahead and take the wife, you know, take her. This is conceived by the Holy Ghost. He gets another dream to take his wife and his child, baby Jesus, and flee to Egypt because they were trying to kill Christ at the time. So we see that God spoke to him through a dream. We see later on, Peter was given a vision, and this is in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 19, about the including the Gentiles. And he gets a dream, a vision rather, about unclean foods. And then, you know, God explains, you know, the vision to him that he ought to include the Gentiles and that accept them. And it's not just about Israel, it's about the rest of the nations as well. And the God wants to save everybody if they're willing to submit to him. So those are just two examples of God speaking through visions and dreams. All right. Now, I would say, let God speak to you however he wants to speak to you. A lot of people want to have vision and dream. That's all they really want. It makes them feel spiritual. They always want to say, I had a vision, I had a dream. You know, my thing with that is let God speak to you the way he wants to speak to you. Because if you just want to have a dream and a vision, you constantly praying for just dreams and visions, you want God to speak to you just that way, the devil can pick up on that and begin to give you dreams and visions that are not from God. So I would say, don't go after God for any kind of way of his response. Just look at this 7 points of, you know, of how he responds and just let God speak to you the way he want to speak to you. Because if you pursue dreams and visions and visitations where you see something, you know, Jesus come into your room and talk to you and stuff like that, or an angel comes to you and speaks to you. If you're pursuing those things, you could end up getting something that's not from God because you wanted that and that wasn't the way God wanted to speak to you. So I would say, just let God speak to you. I have another article about that subject called Seeking a Visitation from God. And this is written a couple years ago. And it's regarding people. They want to have these experiences where God comes into their room, or they have these visions and dreams and stuff like this, because they really are in the flesh and they want to see things and feel things. And God speaks spirit to spirit. Like I said, his primary way of talking to us is in the spirit realm. We're not going to hear anything. We're not going to feel anything. It's just going to be a mental connection where he speaks to our minds. There ain't nothing, I guess, dramatic or special about that for some of these people. And so they get to a place where they just want to have something tangible that they can lock on to. But I would say that they're in the flesh, and that's they're in sin for that, because they're going after something the way God is not necessarily wanting to talk to them. So I just put it out there for your own protection. I'm not saying dreams and visions are wrong. I'm not. I'm saying that if you're pursuing those and you want those over every other form of communication, then you could end up with something that is leading you astray. Okay. And a lot of people talking about they had a vision, they had a dream. It was from the devil. Number six, God speaks through inner peace or the lack of it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So we see inner peace is a mark of the maturing saint. The closer you are to God, the more inner peace you have despite surrounding circumstances. When God is in the decision, things seem to go smoothly and peacefully, okay? So you're praying to God and you get an inner peace about the decision you're about to make or whatever. Just say that. You can say that that probably is God. Yet if you get an unsettling feeling, say about this particular person or a place or thing, you need to take note of that and say this may be a warning that this ain't the right place to go, or this not the right person I should be dealing with, and really go back to God about that, because there shouldn't be any trouble in your spirit. There shouldn't be any, you know, stuff like that. People, places, and things that are not of God usually upset us. And that's just the way it is, because they're not supposed to be in our space. They're not supposed to be around us. And so it's a warning signal for us to get away from that person, or to get away from that environment, or the course of action that we're on. We shouldn't be down at it, because it's going to cause some kind of harm or something to us down the line. So, and I didn't know about this particular way of hearing from God. I there were many times where I was dealing with somebody who pretended to be a believer in Christ, and I'm sitting there talking with him, and I have this nervous feeling. And I'm not nervous around people, even people I don't even know. I'm not some kind of shy person that gets weird around people because they're new or whatever, but I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, maybe it's the environment. I don't know what this is. This happened multiple times, you know, and eventually I find out the person is not a real believer. They're pretending they're of the devil and they're trying to hurt me or my family or something like that. And I say, oh, okay. So now I know what that was. That was the warning signal from my spirit or from the Holy Spirit saying that person ain't right. You need to get away from them. Perhaps it's a course of action that you're about to take, and you begin to feel unsettled. That's an indication that might not be the right course of action. It feels like a bubbling in your gut. It feels like nervousness when there's nothing to be nervous about. It feels like extreme disgust or frustration or unrest about a person's behavior, place, or thing. So you got to take note of these things. Peace is a great thing. It's supposed to be how you are inside always, despite your surroundings. But if you're going somewhere that may mess with you spiritually, your peace internally will begin to be unsettled. And you'll feel that internally. So I encourage you all to listen to that. If you feel a certain way about a person or a course of action or a particular job you're about to take, or, you know, a road you're about to go down, pause for a minute and say, wait a minute now. I feel unsettled. Something ain't right. Let me go to the Lord about that, you know, and ask for confirmation. And the seventh way God speaks, the last way he speaks, is through circumstances. This is similar to the inner peace or the lack of it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 22, "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it." So say, for instance, there's a circumstance where the decision you're about to make, everything is lining up with it. God said you're supposed to do this. You're like, yes, I'm going to do it. You start to go down that road. Everything is working in your favor. It's moving. That's the will of God. Now, say, for instance, there's all these barriers popping up. You're getting constantly rejected. You're being blocked. There's just difficulty pursuing this action. Like, what's going on here? Perhaps that's not God allowing you to go down that path. So the circumstances are telling you, and this is God just saying, look, this ain't the right path. You got to take note of that. You can't continue to press in. And I've done this too. I've looked at circumstances where things were just blocking me. And I kept pursuing anyway. I said, well, maybe this is the devil trying to stop me from doing the will of God. That's what I would say. The thing about it is this. When God is with you to do a certain work, the devil can't do nothing about it. He can't hinder nothing you're doing. When you're about to do something, that's his will for your life, the enemy, he may want to stop that, but he just can't. And it'll just work smoothly for you. You won't have any kind of barriers. They'll just be removed. So I just want to keep that note. Now, there are scriptures where Paul said he was trying to come talk to somebody and the devil hindered him and stuff like that. I'm aware of passages like that. And maybe God allowed that to happen for him. But I would say overall, if you're getting a lot of barriers and stuff in the way, talk to God about it. And say, God, why is this, you know, I believe this is the right course of action. Why am I having all these issues? And then get some confirmation. You'll find maybe that ain't the will of God. If it is the will of God and there's barriers in place and there's things that seem to be just stopping you from going where you're trying to go, then ask God about why is this in the way and what am I supposed to do about it? Or what are you going to do about it, God? But overall, if it's a course of action that God is saying that you're supposed to go down, the circumstances will allow you to get there. They will just work out for your favor, for your good. Everything will just be moving smoothly. You will just go down that path and everything will be fine. I'm going to give you an example of somebody I read about. This was a minister. He was a missionary, right? He was going to go over to this country and he already told the people he was coming, and then he started feeling a lack of desire to go. And then he just started not having no peace about it. Then he told him, he said, you know what, I ain't coming, y'all. They was like upset because they were looking forward to his visit. He said, I ain't feeling it. And then he started saying, okay, since you really want me to come, I'll go press God again about it. And he started talking to God about it again, and then he lost his peace and his desire to come. Eventually he said, I ain't coming, y'all. I'm sorry. I just don't feel like it's the will of God. So later on, the plane that he was going to take there crashed and all the people in there died. So God was basically stopping him from coming to save his life. So we need to listen to God in these seven different ways, you know, because he's trying to save us. He's trying to keep us on the right path. If we pursue God according to his will and listen to his guidance, we'll be so successful in life. It'll just be amazing how we'll just go around obstacles and things. I mean, you know, the devil's trying to come at us. We just be going right past them. He's trying his best, but God is strategically moving us around the board and we're just winning. You see, that's why we need to pray to God and hear back from him and follow what he's saying. So those are the seven ways. Let me go over them again. He talks through an audible voice. He speaks through an inner voice. He speaks through people. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through visions and dreams. He speaks through an inner peace or a lack of it. And then finally, he speaks through circumstances. So what do we do once we heard from God in one of these seven different things? Well, the next thing we need to do is test the spirits. So the Bible says you always need to test the spirits. Now, testing the spirits is basically testing the person or the voice that you heard from. So if you hear an inner voice, test that spirit. That was a spirit talking to you. A spirit can include God. It could mean a man was talking to you, demons, angels, good or bad. These are all spirits. All right. So when he say test the spirits, he's saying test that inner voice, test the preacher that told you, who gave you that advice, test him. Okay. And so we're going to talk about how to do that. But we get this command from God in 1 John 4:1-6. And it's important. Test the spirits. Don't just hear something and accept it and do it. test that. Is this really God? Test it. So he says here in 1 John 4, 1 through 6, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we have a principle here. If this preacher, person that you're talking to, is he accepted by the world? Do the world listen to him? Here's an example. T.D. Jakes is a preacher who is accepted by the world. He's on the covers of magazines. They like him. They accept him. We are not of the world. The world, if you're really down with God, the world don't like you. They don't respect you. They will persecute you and mistreat you. You will definitely not be on the cover of a magazine unless, you know, they dogging you out. But T.D. Jakes is respected by the world. Okay? So you have to take into consideration his advice when he's speaking. Because sometimes he's telling the truth. He got a good word sometimes, but because he's accepted by the world, some of what he's saying ain't true. You have to just take a note of that. Is this person of the world or are they of God? I believe T.D. Jakes is of the world simply because of this passage. There's other passages where if the world is loving you, something's wrong. But if you follow in God and the world rejects you, you're on the right path. You see? So we got to be clear about that. The world don't lift up people that they don't like. The world lifts up people that are in line with the spirit of the world, which is of Satan. Okay, so the preacher can still drop a few truths out here and there, but overall, there's some things that he's teaching that's not true. And so all his advice may not be sound and you shouldn't follow. You know, so you got to take note of that. But that's what they're saying here. Now, here's how not to test the spirits, because this same passage is used to create a formula that I've heard in the past multiple times. And it basically states this. If you hear an inner voice, and you're getting guidance from this inner voice, the way you test that spirit to see whether or not it's from God is to ask the spirit, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? If the spirit responds and says yes, that's a spirit that you can continue to follow. If the spirit says no, you shouldn't listen to that spirit's advice because that's an evil spirit. They were lying to you, and if you follow them, you're going to go off the path. Here's the problem with testing the inner voice with that question. The devil is a liar. So I believe that this spirit, this test is useful to some, even for preachers. There are some preachers, if you ask them, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? They'd be like, no. And the reason why they say that, because they believe that Jesus, he lived the perfect life. He couldn't have come in the flesh. He was a God on earth, and they got their theology all messed up. Don't follow him. So there are people who believe that, and there are demons who will refuse to acknowledge that Jesus came in the flesh. But there are other demons and there are other preachers who will accept and say, yes, Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. And they still false teachers. It's still a false spirit or an evil spirit. So you can't use this formula and say that this is the way you're going to deal with your inner voice when you hear things from it. This is the way you're going to deal with every preacher that comes your way. Because a lot of them are just going to say, yeah, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's not going to fix nothing. They can lie about that if they don't believe it, or they could believe it. And they're still false teachers. You see? So I hear people teaching this, and initially I believed it. You know, when I first heard it, I thought it was a clever way of dealing with demons or spirits when they speak to you when you ask this question. The thing about it for me was it never worked. I was I would be praying, and then I would, first of all, I never got no voice responding back because I wanted it to, I wanted God to speak to me in a certain way. He just wouldn't say anything. I would get absolutely nothing. So I couldn't even get the test off the ground because I wouldn't hear anything. Now, to the example from these other people's perspective, they would hear stuff and they would ask the question, and they said the spirit would say everything but to answer the question. He said, well, see, that devil's trying to lie to me because that's the devil. He should have just said yes or no. Or the devil would say, Jeebus Christ came in the flesh. He didn't say Jesus Christ came. He said Jeebus or something else weird or some other word. And he would say, see, that was the devil trying to lie to me. And I'm not going to take that advice that I heard from this inner voice. You can't play these games with the devil. Okay. That test for the inner spirit and for traveling preachers or teachers or whoever you want to connect with, they don't work, man. Okay. Yes, you can ask people that to make sure that, you know, they're on the right, they got the right theology, but you can't use that as your main test to see whether or not somebody is true or not. Especially don't use it for an inner voice that you're hearing. Okay? So the last thing, by the way, there's a whole article about how to not be deceived, and I have that linked in the sermon notes, and you can check that out. So this is the thing, they'll say, well, there's somehow the enemy can't lie about that. If he is not of God, he has to declare that Christ did not come in the flesh. That ain't in scripture nowhere. Where is it in scripture that it says that the devil must confess that Jesus didn't come in the flesh? There's no way in scripture that the devil's a liar. He'll lie about anything. There's nothing that's prohibiting him from lying. Okay. So we gotta really look at scripture from a holistic perspective instead of just isolated passages and believing what people say, because this just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And you'll be deceived if you try to use that on these inner voices that you're hearing. Okay? And I've talked to people about this, and they're so proud that they had some kind of formula and they wouldn't let it go. And it was sad because they're going to be deceived if they keep following that inner voice without real confirmation. So the last part of this is confirmation. We must confirm what we heard from God. We tested the spirit. We made sure that it was of God. Now we confirm it. The Bible says, you know, 2 Corinthians 13:1, it says every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. We see this in John 8:17 and Deuteronomy 19:15. There's a principle in scripture that speaks to accepting a charge against someone, a rumor or something you heard, if it's repeated more than once. So if it's repeated more than once, it may be something legitimate. Okay? So it's not good enough just to hear it in a voice. Let's see in the Bible if it aligns with scripture. And they say two or three witnesses. I will go even further and say, okay, let me talk to a preacher or a teacher and see if this aligns with what I heard. And you get all these confirmations. If they all add up and they all the same, then you can say this is a word from God and you will follow it. And I would say when you begin to follow God, you'll see the peace and the circumstances line up and everything will be fine. Or you'll see trouble and a lack of peace and things of that nature coming in, you know, in your way and stuff like that. So there's always going to be confirmation if you're following God. And I can give you examples of this ministry, me doing this ministry. I've consistently get confirmation. This is what I'm supposed to be doing over and over again. God will speak to my wife and tell her this is his work. That's what she got one time. God spoke to her and said, this is his work. I'm constantly getting back testimonies that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. All right. God continues to provide for this ministry when there's a need of a hosting situation where the site needs to, you know, continue to be paid for to be online. God sends funds when I don't have them at the time. He'll send funds to somebody. He's always taking care of this ministry because this is his will for me to continue doing this. So you'll continue to get confirmation if you're going in the will of God. But if you're not, you'll find barriers. You'll find rejections. You'll find different things in the way, you know. But it's just not to say that all those things are not of God. Sometimes it was his will for you to stop at a certain point. Sometimes you're not going to end up doing the same thing the rest of your life. There's going to be end point. But generally, when God is in the mix, circumstances are moving smoothly. There's a peace. You've had confirmation from pastors and teachers. The inner voice said the same thing. Everything is working out for your good. So I would say that that's how you hear from God. Most importantly is to test the spirits and to get confirmation. So in this seven list of ways God speaks, just look for another way of him speaking. If you heard an inner voice, try to get some Bible scriptures that speak to that situation. Usually the Bible is the first place you go. Okay, you may hear an inner voice. You may hear an audible voice. You talk to a preacher or teacher. Look at the circumstances. Are the circumstances working for your faith? You look at that stuff, you'll see God at work. So I hope that's been helpful to you. Once you get this answer and everything's working for you, write it down, put the date on it, and say, God spoke to me on this date. This is what he said. I'm going to follow it. If he had a specific thing that he said to you, like, I'm going to do this for you, write that down. That's a promise from God specifically to you. Write it down. Keep that, frame it, or do whatever you need to do, because you need to stand on his word. When things don't look like they're going to go the right way, stand on his word. So that's all I can say for today about that. I hope this has been helpful to you. Once again, like, if you don't hear from God, or you heard something, you realize it was the devil talking to you, reject that spirit. Tell him, I don't want to hear from you again. Go to God and say, God, give me, you know, the correct information, and then pursue God until you get the right course of action, and then follow God. Put the information down on paper and then say, this is what God said, I'm going to do it. And then you just obey him and go about your way. You'll see confirmation and blessings as you obey God. All right. So until next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed. We'll be right back.